والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Monday, 27th of March, 2000. After a long time, we are getting again together to study a few more verses of the Quran. Unfortunately, Muharram will stop us again for a little while, and then we shall continue. Gives us enough time to study the verses before the main verse. وَمَا نَنْسِخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِيهَا نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. In any case, we are in verse number 104. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. The verse is probably the first verse in the Holy Quran that starts with يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That particular mode of address, addressing those who have brought faith. يَا is يَا أَيُّهَا those, أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have brought faith. آمَنُوا is a verb, right? So those who have adopted this faith, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُولُوا رَاعِ لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا. The Holy Quran has used this mode of address, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, 85 times in the Holy Quran. And there is a difference between يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا and الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Right? You will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has used the word الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ, or he has used mu'minun, and he has used ayyuha alladhina amanu. Forget ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. So there is a difference between alladhina amanu and mu'minun, right? Now what is the difference? Ayatullah Tabatabai in his Tafsir al-Mizan says that Alladhina Amanu is referred to only those who have brought faith during the time of the Prophet, who accepted the message of the Prophet. And at that time, they were addressed as Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu, as those around the Prophet who decided to accept the message of Prophet. So every time Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu comes, that mode of address is primarily to those around the Prophet who brought faith. And on the same basis, Alladhina Kafaru is different from Kufar. And those Alladhina Kafaru is referring to those people who around the time of the Prophet actually rejected his message. So, Alladhina Amanu, whenever you come across these words, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Right? First, primarily, now you've got to understand, I know the first question that comes to mind is that if that is true, then what about its application today? Right? That's the first question that comes to mind. And in fact, Ayatullah Tabatabai, without giving room for anybody to ask that question, asks the question himself and says, you know, I don't know if you've noticed his style of writing is that he's addressing a reader one-to-one. Ayatullah Tabatabai would make a statement and then in anticipating what the reader would be thinking, he would say, all right, at this juncture you may ask or you may wonder, right, that this, and I say in reply. It's like, it's as if, you know, you interact with the way he has written Ayatullah Tabatabai. So this particular junction, he says, after reading the statement, you may wonder that if that is the case, then are those verses that use Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, are those verses applicable to us today or not? How Nobody answered the question. Anybody? Nobody thought of...
You can look at maybe the other way, that those verses, those other verses are applicable to everybody, but not necessarily to those people only. Whereas these verses will be applicable to those and us.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, that is mode of address. Huh? And that address has got an order coming thereafter, right? It's been used 85 times.
What are the mazes of that statement?
Interesting.
I
think it is important to read the evidence. He's provided evidence. If you give me some time, let me get the book from the car. It's in the car with all the references. If you look at the verses that he has used. Didn't click, does it? Let me just... Please. Number 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Allah is talking about the angels. الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِمْ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Right? Allah says the angels are those who are carrying the throne and praising the Lord and believing in Him and seeking forgiveness for those who have brought faith. How? رَبَّنَا وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Right? Oh Allah, You have encompassed everything by Your mercy and knowledge. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. In one verse, He says, Allah says that the angels are seeking forgiveness لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And who are the لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا? فَغْفِرْ. The angels are saying, forgive الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ. So, those who have sought pardon, who have returned. تَابُوا is to return, right? Those who have sought pardon and have followed Your path. That, this particular verse, shows that الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا are the same as those who have performed tawbah, who have returned from not believing, from being mushrik, from being kafir. So it specifically refers to the time, during the time of the Prophet, right? Now, why I say during the time of the Prophet is because in this particular verse, if you continue verse number 8, رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ الَّتِي وَعَدْتُمْ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّةِ. So he is referring to parents, ancestors and their children. But مَنْ صَلَحَ, those who are good. If there was a general thing. Ayatullah Tabatabai maintains that if it was general, like everybody who brought faith, then there was no need to add on that their fathers and mothers and children, because if they have brought faith, then they would fit into the category of those who have brought faith.
So those angels are not praying for you and me, because we are neither the children nor the mother of any of those people.
Let me come to that, because that will be answer to the question that is this verse applicable to us or not, right? That question has not been answered yet. Right now, we are saying الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا is referring to those who are at that time. This is special mention. It does not mean that it is exclusive to them. You see, there is a mode of address, addressing to someone. And whoever is addressed in the Quran has achieved that special status, if it is in the good sense. If it is in the bad sense, then it is worse. Yeah. Has achieved that status of being recognized and mentioned clearly in the Holy Quran, right? Then, with the mode of address, or rather with the addressee, comes a message. Do this, don't do this, right? Now, that addressee, that message is not exclusively for the addressee. That is how the Quran works. The Quran addresses the Prophet in telling him something. اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمُعَذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Go to the path of your Lord with wisdom. Right? that particular message is not just for the Prophet, but is addressed to the Prophet. So there is a difference between the addressee and the message. And that is where the application of the verse comes in. That this verse, although addressed to those who brought faith then, the message that comes with the verse is more than just exclusive to those addresses. This, Ya Ayyuha Alladhina Amanu, is referring to people at that time only, is what Ayatollah Tabatabai refers to as an honor, sharaf, for the people of that time. That is all. There is nothing that defines and says it is only for them and nothing for the people who come after them, no. It is just so that they are recognized. It is an honor to them. It makes them different from other people who have rejected the message straight away. Right? Alladhina amanu, alladhina amanu. So straight away, during the time of the Prophet, there was a distinction between those who have brought faith and those who have not. And every time alladhina amanu was mentioned, people who had brought faith understood that this was referring to them. And therefore it was a source of pride for them that Allah has addressed us in the Holy Quran. Whereas the message was more global and universal, not, you know, confined to people of that time only. Make sense? Unless he's not happy.
Where's your proof? I don't get the time, how he has proved it for that time. There's no indication in the word for that time. Even in the Marik. Because you're saying that because he mentioned the father, right? He didn't have mentioned the father. That is the crux of the argument, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the crux of the argument.
The argument doesn't hold water because it mentioned the children.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't need to mention the children, would you?
Whoever he has mentioned, why has he mentioned as an exception?
He has mentioned the fathers, and the argument is that their fathers may have been mushrikeen, but some of them were salih.
Right.
He has mentioned the children as well.
Some of them may also be mushrikeen and salih.
I mean,
what can't leave each other? It's just...
The sole basis of his argument
is that Alladhina Amanu is a sharaf for those people
that
who
part,
are...
That part is actually quite makes sense.
That is only... There is no... subsequent argument based on this particular point. No, there is nothing like that.
It's just he's
trying to draw a line, a difference between the time when Allah uses Alladhina Amanu as opposed to using. You see, some Mufassirin in the Ahl Sunnah have also claimed that Alladhina Amanu is referred to every people who believed in the Prophet of the attack. Right? And so against that kind of argument, he has brought this and says, no, this one is exclusively to people who brought faith on our Holy Prophet during that time. During that time. Right? In fact, everybody who believed in a prophet before our Holy Prophet are either referred to as Qawm Hud or Qawm Lut or Qawm Nuh, right? Or Ikhwan Lut. But not as Alladhina Amanu. So wherever this comes, Alladhina Amanu, right? You got to understand, Alladhina Amanu was a cliche at that time. Because Allah does not clarify Alladhina Amanu bimada, billahi wa bil rasul. That comes on a different stage. That verse is treated differently. But when this paraphrase, Alladhina Amanu, is used and everybody understood who it was, because at that time the issue was the message of the Prophet. And whenever the Prophet said Alladhina Amanu through Allah, when Allah said Alladhina Amanu, then everybody understood that it was referring to the message of the Prophet.
And so those people, even before Rasulullah, they may also be known as Walladhina Yu'minuna.
Mu'minun, you mean?
Those who believed. Yeah, they would be referred to those.
Alladhina Amanu.
But not Amanu, you said Amanu is only for that time.
This is the Prophet, huh?
Right.
Before the Prophet's time, are people who did bring faith, but are not referred to in the Holy Quran as Alladhina Amanu.
As mu'minin? Would they also be mu'minin? Mu'min?
Yeah.
Mu'min is not
like
just...
Like mu'min Ali Fir'aun. Right? So they are mu'min because they have brought faith. But the Quran does not refer to them as alladhina amanu. This is what Ayatollah Tabatabai is making a distinction. That's all. That's his point.
And we also are not alladhina amanu.
We are mu'minun.
Yeah, but that's
an we, you see, if you're looking at we are not alladhina amanu in the technical sense, yes. But not in the broader mind that are we not those who have brought faith? We are. But that particular phrase, alladhina amanu, became associated at that time with the people who brought faith on the message of the Prophet. And therefore, they had the honor of being referred to as alladhina amanu. That's all. It does not mean we are not part of those who have brought faith. It doesn't mean that, right? لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا. What is the رَاعِنَا for the English translation? The English translation of رَاعِنَا?
Listen to us.
لَا تَقُولُوا, listen to us. Don't say listen to us.
رَاعِنَا means listen to us.
Uh-huh. وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا.
Look upon us.
Here they are taking that word, each word. Yes. In a commentary it says. In a commentary.
The commentary says, okay?
Raina
means
listen to us, and Unzurna
means
look upon us. Here it doesn't even
translate it, it just says Raina
and Unzurna in English.
It's not translated. Because it's not an easy word to translate. Not only is it not an easy word, it has to do something with the Hebrew of Bani Israel. That is why Ra'ina has not been translated. Because Ra'ina was being misused and abused by the Jews of the time. You see, when the Prophet delivered, or rather conveyed, a verse revealed to him, everybody would say Ra'ina. Ra'ina means give us space to understand, give us time to understand, right? Ra'ina. Ra'i is from the word Ra'i. You know what is Ra'i? Ra'i al-ghanam al-lazu. Ra'i al-ghanam means somebody who takes care of the shepherd, Ra'i al-ghanam, right? So somebody who looks after the sheep, molds them, pushes them in the right direction, right? Now, this is Arabic terminology at that time. That they would say, they would sit, and if somebody did not understand and the Prophet was moving very fast for them, right, they would say Ra'ina. That means, please, bear us in mind. Right? Don't go very fast, let us understand, let us grasp the concept, and then we go ahead. Yeah? So, it was a polite way of saying Ra'ina, Ra'ina. Now, what happened was that the Jews at that time, Ra'ina in Hebrew was an abusive word.
Like if you said it in a different accent, it meant stupid. Yes, Raina is equivalent to meaning have regard for us or something like that.
Yeah.
But with a slight twist in the accent, it becomes Raina, same word, meaning stupid or foolish or cattle gender.
And what happened was that the Jews were teasing the Holy Prophet. They would come to the Holy Prophet, listen to him and say, Ra'ina, Ra'ina, right? Mm. With that intention of abusing. You understand? That was their motive. So they would come and sit and listen to the Holy Prophet just for the pleasure of saying that word.
And then they would have their own meaning to it.
Absolutely. Huh? That is why. That is why Allah ordered the people that don't say this word Ra'ina, for it is giving pleasure.
But Ra'ina was meant
to
be something
Ra'ina, please, ask it.
Paighambar
was repeating verse after verse, and people who don't understand, who wanted to grasp the verses before the Prophet proceeds, would say Ra'ina, Ra'ina, Amar Diyarak, Amar Khayal Kar. That was what Ra'ina. So, it became customary, okay, people sitting around the Prophet would say Ra'ina, Ra'ina. That means we didn't understand. Repeat again, please. And the Jews would would get together to do the same thing. Yeah, the Arabs are doing it, we can do it. Until this verse. Okay, look, from now on, don't say Ra'in. وَقُولُوا أَنظُرْنَا.
It also mentions in Surah Nisa 46 the same, Ra'in and
Surah Nisa?
Verse 46.
مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا, it is these Jews. لَيَّمْ بِيَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. This is where it says a slight accent change. Ra'ina. The same word. It was the Jews who were distorting the word. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمْ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ.
Part where
you
change
the word,
but we are not
aware. Yeah. So you put instead of عَطَيْنَا, they were distorting the words.
سَمِعْنَا
وَعَصَيْنَا.
نَعْبَعِ.
We're going to disobey. يُحَرِّفُونَ.
Basically, they would come and they would say something, the Arabs would think that they're agreeing with them for another mashkari karne, but they're just illiterate.
Illiterate. That was their name.
Nisyam gave what? Ramadan.
Khabish. Then, the next verse, مَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ. This is another evidence of what we were just saying, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا and الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا is not referring to absolute kafirs, it's referring to those who rejected the message of the Prophet at that time, his prophethood. And that includes Ahlul Kitab and Mushrik. So, مَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَنْ يُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. So, those who rejected the Holy Prophet did not wish any blessing to come down on you, that is the Holy Prophet and his people. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Now, we come to this very long verse, which is a very short verse, which is indeed very long as far as discussions go. مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. I have been trying since this morning to get hold of a copy of Sidi Bayan, for he has dealt Tafsir Bayan, written by Ayatullah Khuwai rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He has dealt with this issue in much more detail than Ayatullah Khuwai. Much more detail, because he has, out of 160 odd verses, he has dealt with 131 verses, giving examples. Let's try and understand the concept of abrogation. What is abrogation? Does abrogation exist in Quran or not? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. That means any verse that we abrogate, we replace it with a better one or similar one. نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا.
Not necessarily a verse, could be any sign, right? Like Qibla was abrogated and changed. That was a sign.
That is what the general tafsir consensus is. The ayah doesn't mean verse.
Here it says it's referring to prophet. It says, before recording a prophet, another prophet was sent before the departure of the own prophet, an imam was appointed. And then the imam was followed by another imam.
Who has dealt with 32 of it?
32. 132.
32
al-Bayyat.
Probably it's translated as well in English, right?
Huh?
That section is translated.
You have
the
Nani book was here?
Distortion.
Huh?
Distortion?
Prolegomenon. Prolegomenon. Prolegomenon, book translated?
Forward
can
translate.
Book translated?
Patriarchy. Anyway, this article, if people want to have a look at it, I can arrange for it to be followed.
Which article? Email.
I can arrange for it.
You can, English. 32 verses, khali 8 pana upade hocche
8 ke 10
pana. It is definitely abridged.
Anyway, let me have a look at it. I read it quite a long time ago, but he denies it totally.
Ayatullah Khomeini is against Ayatullah Khomeini. Never believe if a verse is abrogated in the Holy Quran, then that would mean something in the Holy Quran is useless. And he does not believe it. He believes that every verse in the Holy Quran is of some use.
Replace.
Izala. Nansakh. Nansakh means izala. Izala means to take down. When we were young, I remember in Ulum al-Quran, if you open the book Ulum al-Quran, even the Sunni version by Ahmad von Denver, you'll find there is a whole chapter on Nasakh and Mansukh. Right? And it literally means the verse that abrogates, an abrogated verse, right? And I remember when we were young, we were given the ideal example of how wine was made haram. You remember that? Darwin. So there's no question of abrogation. Only thing is, three different stages. The first and second stage, in the first and second stage, wine or beer was not made explicitly haram as it was in the third stage. So when it says, for example, لا تقرب الصلاة وأنتم سكارى, Ayatollah Khomeini has used this example as well. This is the problem. Now the book was shared by him. This is not abrogation.
Will you now not listen? And they kept on asking for more and more explicit ayat. But she ayat ayat ki ayat se rish for shaitan. Will you now not listen?
Follow the first ayat verse se la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara, right? It still is applicable today. You cannot pray while intoxicated. So there is nothing there that says the verse is useless. So you know, that kind of argument. But like I said, on a particular nasakh of ayat and nunsiha, that's the other interesting part. Nunsiha ayat lasur, make you forget. Ma nansakh is abrogated. Nunsiha is to make you forget. So are there any verses that were revealed to the Prophet that he then forgot? How would we know?
Wouldn't you have said them, even if you got them the first time? Somebody must have heard them, right?
And then, you have ample of riwayats that will tell you that the Prophet had said this.
Nunsiha, how many for that?
Nunsiha is from the word Nisyan.
We make you forget.
Absolutely. Ansani is shaitan, if you know.
Yeah. Our language, we bypass it.
Huh?
Whatever we abrogate of verse or sign, or we bypass it, we bring you in its place one better.
Bypass it.
Bypass it. Make it redundant.
Nonsiha means make you forget it.
Yeah, make you forget it.
Next week discuss matter.
Next week.
I think that should be more productive.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to enter into it without having done the proper research.
It's a very interesting verse
with examples, and if we enter into it without the full lono, the charm will go away.
I think when I look at the Nasik Mansukh Nakhali example, Liyam is the one he has dealt with, that itself is 1.5 hours worth. He has dealt with, as you say, they are twin verses, but this is the Nasik verse.
The one that is supposed to be abrogating the other one.
All these are there. Always. He has dealt with every one. He said, I'll deal with the 32 main ones.
And there are other examples which then you can understand. And Emma, he talks about this is supposed to be the Mansukh verse. Can you look Surah Nisa, adultery verse here, very famous one that was supposed to have been abrogated. He has dealt with all of them one by one. That could be a whole lesson, just those verses. Meanwhile, we could bypass. Okay, next week is our last week.
Yeah, next week will be our last week. I know this week is a short week. It's been a hectic week for all of us. And haven't had much time after Hajj to actually sit and read to refresh what we are going to discuss. I've been looking for this book since this morning on my mileage in a coffee, so I'll get it within a couple of days time actually. Before next week, pass you bring the copies.
Yeah, I'll bring the English text of that.
The English text, yeah.
I'll bring about 30. You can always run up some copies if you need. I'll try, if possible, to bring I'm not sure if Prolegoman is on the Islamic.org site. If it is, is it on the Islamic.org site?
No.
But then it will be easy. Then we can just, I can email it to Sarpra, who can email it to 19 people. Oh, 19. 50.
You got how many email addresses?
Only 15. Including you and a bus.
There's 23 here.
Including you and a bus.
15 of them. You don't look at 15.
I know, we need more addresses.
I hope they
give it to me.
Some people are not on email, I believe, yeah? So just a general discussion. Any other questions about the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran?
Can we not carry on? Next question.
No. Can I just request you all to recite Surah Fatiha from the Prophet Soul of the Universe? Out of all the messages of condolence, those are eloquent, probably if not in the words that Prophet Ibrahim said, I mean, it might be in the words, I'm not disputing that as well, but eloquent in the thought itself. And Allah put it in Arabic in such a way, to maintain the charm in the words. As much as it was in the context.
Like in Surah Maryam, Assalamu alayhi, yawma wulidtu.
Yawma amutu, yawma uba.
And then the same thing paraphrased with Yusuf, but in the third person.
No. Yahya.
Hazrat Yahya.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything like that in tafsir.
That's an interesting thing brought up. I'm sure Kitab Udhan Ayakut Ujjama, the person is studying the language of the Quran. That's a Kitab. It has made some very startling sort of conclusions. One of the things was, for example, in one place it said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this word has used the same word, Ketla Kare, Quran. But in one surah, he has used a different word. Same thing, but he has used a different word. And the only reason for that was, that particular surah was a prose, rhyming. All the other words were ending in ah, kind of surah, the Maryam rhyme kind of thing. All the words used for the rhyme now, he used the other word for it. That I find, if that is the case, sometimes, you know, we really play on the meaning of the words and say the word, why does it? Ah, meaning ah, kai, jikan, ki, piji, baju, ah, meaning, each meaning to the word.
No, I haven't. Only the book, but that
one. Interesting.
Grammatical, all right?
Grammatical.
It was one of the times grammatical. Rashid Khalafa, you know, Qawm, Ikhwan. He picks up on that. Right? Rashid Khalafa. He picks up on that.
And what was the result? What was the conclusion?
No, there is no set conclusion. This is just one mufassir would say this, another mufassir would say that, because the prose does not have a message as such. Yes? We can only have grammarians and linguists, but I speculate that look, Allah must have used this because of this. Right?
The words are ya laytanikum to nasi al mansiya yukashif to Maryam. It means the same thing, these words.
Nasi al mansiya.
Mittu qabla hadha.
Mittu qabla hadha.
Wukunta nasi al mansiya.
There's something interesting, I don't know if you guys have spotted on the internet, did you see about the genetic thing to do with the genetic from that University of New Mexico, I don't believe it. It's amazing, you imagine, it's true, it's going to change the world, and I have a nasty feeling it may be a hoax, but I don't think so, I don't know, we'll see in the next few days. It's something that's just come out last week, from the Quran make ayahs on this. Yeah, we will show you our signs in the furthest reaches of that you can see. It's out of Tidur Vastumapa, and also in yourselves, so that there can be no doubt about us. Anyway, so this guy writes, Professor Ahmad Shakti Khan, something. He's a geneticist and microbiologist at the University of New Mexico in the States. And he says that they had a commission from the United States to do research on the genes responsible for intelligence. They're working on some chromosome to try to find out, you know. non-Muslim colleagues. So we're working together. And he came juman matmaju. Now I had some real. So at that point they were on a dead end, they were, you know, but he said okay, furthest reaches is space. You know, and in space as we explore and we learn more, Allah and ek science, you know, are coming. But inside means what? You know, in yourselves. He said, in yourself, the most innermost thing can be the gene. So he went back and he said, okay, I started looking at DNA structures again. You can get DNA message on the chromosomes. There's a lot of data that is orderly. And they know that each bit of code means something. Just what it means, you have to blueprint and you have to try to find a group of people with one illness, take genes from them and study which is the gene that's common in all of them and then sort of discover what's causing what. But there's a lot of random data, which is, it is called junk DNA. The term used, they call it junk DNA, because it doesn't seem to have any orderliness to it. They came with junk DNA and about that sequence is laid. He gave it to his brother, who is a computer analyst. And he began to input the chain sequences into his computer to try to find out, is there a sense to them? Is there a pattern? After a while, his brother came back to him and said that, look, he was very excited. He said, look, it's not random. There is definitely a pattern. But what the pattern is, I can't figure out. But there is a pattern, recurring pattern. There is some sort of pattern to this. So then he said, I decided to attribute letters of the alphabet to different chains. And then put different permutations. Okay, maybe this chain could be Alif. This chain could be this. And they put that through the computer. 2 months later, they cracked the code. And the first thing that the first one they cracked was it said immediately that chain said Ikra Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. So once they got that one out, the rest is coming at an exponential rate. Now they figure they read Surah Baqarah. That is in one cell. Ek cell ma. Ek ek Surah Baqarah sudin ayat to bada mali gaya shani we are going to get the whole Quran, then we are going to publish it. Finding. Ek ek mara Allah be the colleagues ye nasti kata hai mujhe Islam suche Quran suche, and they're helping him on his project. And he said, inshallah, this is only a preliminary article. I will keep you informed as things progress. No, it was sent to me by Masuma Bitu. You know Masuma Bitu? Diana Bitu. She sent it to me. It was first posted on Soft Religion of Islam.
Old
Makonya.
Sok is the
moderator. Sok is the moderator. Old is the one where the Hindu Raj Karaj. But yeah, it's something, I mean, if it's true, it could be something unique. Otherwise, it could be an elaborate hoax, and in which case it's a joke.
and it's funded by the American
government. That's the irony of it. No, no, their research is incidental to their main research, obviously.
But they still can't identify the source of intelligence, right?
They know, I'm a sutta, they know if genes translate, like a genomes mean one thing or another. But obviously, unless you can bring a group of highly intelligent kids and try to find out what the common characteristics in their genes are and try to pluck one out. And that's how they find, they can ask spinal bifida in the chain, ask cerebral palsy in the chain, all that. But the target groups. So they've identified quite a few, I think they've identified them. 45 different ones so far. The gene for fatness, obesity has been identified.
This is the problem also they were saying, is that people say, well, you know, I can't help it, I'm a compulsive liar, it's in my genes. Yeah. I mean, and that's probably true, it is. And people's
but
homosexuality
liars,
has a genetic cause for it.
Homosexuality is coming up now, okay, homosexuality is genetically influenced much.
Fine. Now the argument that I think that Islam is saying, or Muslims should be saying, well, so what? Allah has given us a tendency to violence, a tendency for so many other things which are in our genes, but He's also given us the ability to overcome them. And that's what we keep forgetting.
It's a battle between nurture or nature.
No, but that battle is there.
Is nature or nurture?
Well, it's explained to us, isn't it?
Huh?
We have this battle. It's not going to be a battle. It's going to go on for a very long time. No, but
the genetic argument is much more powerful. I mean, if you've got a gene to obesity, you cannot will that fatness away unless you're an exercise freak. You will tend to become fat, right?
If you have a gene towards violence, animals have a tendency to violence. We also have it as human beings.
But what I'm trying to say, for that person, it's a more uphill task on a day-to-day basis than for you and I.
What about physical attributes? What about
I know, the genes identify for physical traits. Like
physical traits,
emotional traits as well.
What about
homosexuality is linked to a physical trait, a certain imbalance in hormones. So there is a genetically
propensity,
tendency, some brain chemicals.
Well, they also, not just that, there was I've got an article, and you cited this if you want to read it, it's also that there are differences in the brain structure. Some more compact neurons in some areas and stuff like that. And they found that is a difference also.
So already genetic engineering is going on a wide scale. You'll be amazed. I mean, the tomatoes are being injected with an arctic flower. an arctic animal, the animal chain, gene study, injected into a tomato, so it looks... Right, the tree is not appealing. And what is soil? Right? Yeah, that's been going on for a long, long time. But what it is vegetables, plants being mixed up. Soya, 80% of the world's soya is genetically treated to stop it from being destroyed on the plant. But to stop it from being destroyed by the main vermin against it, it's been genetically treated.
It's the gene which the problem with soya, for instance, is. There is parasites or whatever which will kill the soya. Mm. So obviously you have to put pesticides. Now that is harmful. So the argument is that the gene which can overcome that is being planted in the soya. Mm. Okay, now the argument is whether that will form a deformed gene subsequently, they don't know. Mm. The effect of that gene, they don't know. And soya, by the way, we all eat soya in various forms.
Butter, margarine, everything.
Deformed name, modified, use the right word, man.
Salud.